So today is what, October 18th? Yep, October 18th. My friend Jenny Boudreaux's birthday. I know that because she's a month younger than I am. Praise God. It's a beautiful day. Sun is shining. Birds are singing. Wind is blowing. Leaves are falling. Welcome to New England in the fall. I want to talk this morning about enough. Sufficiency. The having the things that we need and recognizing our attitude in that as well. From Proverbs chapter 30, beginning with verse 7, this person is crying out to God. The name at the top of the chapter is Lemuel, but we know that Proverbs was written by Solomon, so who Lemuel is in the midst of that, don't know. A lot of things I don't know about the Bible. That's why I have question marks in mine. Hope you have question marks in yours as you're reading and things like, well, wait a minute, how does this fit? Beginning with verse 7, it says, two things I request of you, praying to God, and deprive me not before I die. First, verse 8, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Can you stop right there for just a minute? You wonder, is he talking about getting other people to stop lying to him? Or also, Lord, make sure the words that I say are right words. How about both? Do we pray that in our lives? Lord, guard over my mouth that the words that I speak are words that are right. That the words that I speak are words that are righteous. That the words that I speak are words that bring healing. Because, you know, you can tell the absolute truth in such a way that nobody wants to listen to you. Guilty. You can tell the absolute truth in ways people think you are lying. That's true too. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Goes on, give me neither poverty nor riches. Don't give me not enough or too much. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Do we ever recognize as we go through this life that having too little or too much will affect the way we relate to God? In the Gospels, Jesus is talking to the rich young ruler. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. I've done all these things. What am I missing? One thing you lack. Sell what you have and give to the poor. Then you'll have treasure in heaven. But we all already know that having financial means is not the problem. The problem is financial means having us. So it says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. One of the words in the Old Testament that's translated as adultery literally means highly fed and therefore wanton. Or having so much that we're not satisfied with anything. This is exactly what this verse is talking about. An attitude where God has given us everything we need and we fall short. Everything we need and we don't recognize God. The guy that in the parable of the barns, the guy had his barns, he had goods for many years and a good harvest came in. He says, what'll I do? I know, I'll pull down these barns and I'll build up bigger ones. Or how about Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who had the dream about the great tree being cut down, and Daniel translated the tree to him. But later on, a little while later, he forgot about the interpretation. And he stood up and says, look at all these wonderful things that I have done. And God struck him with madness so that he lived in the fields for 3 years. And his hair became like feathers. And his nails became like talons. Has anybody seen anybody that doesn't ever cut their fingernails? You ever seen what some of that stuff looks like? You'll see you on Facebook and you see pictures of people with these long, curly things or fingernails or toenails are even better, you know? Don't know how in the world people do that. But so here's the king of Babylon, and God has struck him with madness, and he was driven out into the fields, and for 3 years lived in the fields, until one day God visited him again, and he came to his senses, and he looked up, laying in the field, wet with the dew, hair like feathers, nails like claws, and gave praise to the God of heaven. Sometimes we need a reminder. Prayerfully, we don't need that rough a reminder. But sometimes we need a reminder that it is God is the one who brings us through. It is God is the one who makes provision for us. It is God is the one who guides us. The verse there, verse 9, Proverbs 30, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. In Thessalonians, maybe? 1 Thessalonians? At any rate, as my dad would say, back over there in Paul's writings, you know, a third of the New Testament, over there in Paul's writings, talking to the church, it says, let him who stole steal no more. Recognize that God has made provision for us. And we have the things that we need only because he is watching over and keeping us. 2 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 7, a passage very familiar to all of us. Paul talking. This time I know where in Paul's writings it is because I wrote it down. See? That's the wise way of doing that. Where Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I also take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says, you know, this thing came up. It was called a thorn in the flesh. And I've heard a lot of different speculation what it could be. Some folks say, well, maybe it's the fact that he was losing his eyesight, because in some of the letters, he say, see with what great hand I wrote. It's like, well, that's just proof that he can't see unless he writes really big. I don't know. I think they're stretching. But I've also heard maybe it's something to do with the fact that when Paul had been stoned, maybe there was a little itch and an infirmity that remained from that. We don't know. One day I'll know, even as also I am known. I've got this promise in Scripture. One day I can find out. But Paul says that there's a reason God allowed it to happen in my life. When we have infirmities, when we have sicknesses, when we have problems going on, maybe there's a reason God allowed it. If for no other reason than it causes us to seek his face. It causes us to get into a deeper and deeper relationship with the Lord. So Paul said, I will gladly boast in my infirmities and in my persecutions, because when I am weak, I am strong in God. God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. When we recognize that we need God, and he doesn't need us, but he invites us to come along. He invites us to come into his presence. He invites us to draw close. He loves us and desires community and communion and fellowship with us. So sometimes we'll find ourselves completely overwhelmed and completely inadequate. At least I do. But praise God, I know that God is still with me. God is still at work. And if I'm doing what God has called me to do, I trust that he's the one directing my steps doing it. So this is I'm in my 14th year pastoring this church. The night before my very first Sunday pastoring this church, I had this dream. And in the dream, I go into this a church, and I didn't recognize it going in, but I've seen this church somewhere. But I'm going into this church and I'm going up front. And, you know, I look up and there's just a few people around. And as I'm talking, the place begins, you know, I'm talking with different people. And every time I look up, there's more and more and more people in there. And then I keep talking. And then I realize that this is just like one alcove. And over here is another alcove, and they both go back to a full auditorium, and the place is absolutely packed. That was my dream, the dream that I had prior to my very first day pastoring a church. Last night I had a dream, same church. And I'm sitting there and we're getting stuff set up, and somebody else comes in and says, they're the pastor. I'm like, no, you're not. Don't know who you are, but this is where God has placed me. And until God moves me, like I said, I've said many times, and I'm not trying to be prophetic and saying another pastor's coming. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that something was trying to tear down the work that God had put me in my own strength, in my own abilities. I fall short, but I praise God that He is the one that gives us strength. He is the one who is working in us. He is the one that makes us sufficient to do the task that He sets before us. It says in 1 Corinthians, who are you to judge as another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand because God is able to make him to stand. I grab onto that God is able to make me and each and every one of us to stand, to do the task that He's called us to do. His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough. And it doesn't matter what the opposition is. It doesn't matter who's around. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. God is still at work providing that we are enough to do the task He's given us. Praise God. First in Philippians 4, beginning with verse 10. It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says, it doesn't matter what my circumstances are because I know that God is the one at work and God is my provision and God is my provider. He says, I thank you that to the Philippian church, I thank you that your care has flourished and that you sent a gift. But I just want to let you know, whether you had sent a gift or not, my gift comes from God, whether it came through your hands or from somebody else's hands. My provision comes from God no matter what the vessel is that's used. When we were at work, back when Deb was switching jobs, your last three jobs were two. Were given to her, were jobs she didn't apply for. That all of a sudden people came up to her and says, hey, do you want this job? It's a promotion. Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Thank you. Well, why didn't you apply for it before? Because I wasn't eligible to apply. So they came another way and found a way to give her the job. Now, where did the job come from? The job came from God. The provision came from God. I worked at the service center. I was at the service center working for 18 years, 2 years as a contractor, and 16 years for the federal government. In those 18 years, I was promoted 9 times. Praise God. I didn't say, ooh, let me go do this. No. God opened the door. God made the way. God made the provision. We talked, was it Wednesday night we were talking? And I talked about having a car driving up from Atlanta, Georgia to Richmond, Virginia that never should have made it with the amount of gas that was in it. And it was the middle of the night and the gas stations were all closed and God made the provision so that I got to Richmond, Virginia without being stuck and stranded on the side of the road. Because God makes provision and He does it. Sometimes He does it in very obvious ways. Sometimes He does it in very subtle ways. Sometimes He does it in very obscure ways. But God is the one who makes the provision. Have you ever had a need come up and not know where the money was going to come from and it came in an envelope or it came in a knock on the door? I have. You know, and I don't think God loves me more than He loves anybody else. I think He loves each and every one of us. I think God makes His provision and works in us in ways that just are completely beyond our imagination or our comprehension or our expectations. The Bible says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things the Lord has prepared for them who love Him. Which means if I can imagine it, chances are not good enough. God has something better in mind than what I can imagine. Praise God. So Paul telling the Philippians, I thank you that you sent a gift, that God used it. But I just want to share with you that God has kept me, and God has shown me that no matter what my circumstances are, I'm still His. No matter what my situation is, I still belong to God. He is still the one watching over me. And I've learned to be abased. I've learned to have nothing. And I've learned to abound. I've learned to have an abundance. But in every situation, I know that He is the one who keeps me. Praise God. In Proverbs 15, beginning with verse 15, it says, all of the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who has a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Do we look at our circumstances? Do we look at our need? Or even the little that we have? Are we grateful for the things that God has provided? Have we learned to be grateful no matter what our situation is? Or have we learned to trust God? The Bible says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If we are thankful in each and everything, then we recognize that our provision comes from God. I recognize that He is the one who watches over us. We recognize that He is the one who is keeping us, and He is the one who is providing. If we're not thankful, then it's one of two things. We're saying, God, you're not doing enough. Praise God, where does that expectation come from? Certainly doesn't come from reading the Bible. God, you're not doing enough in my life. God, you're not doing enough for me. Really? Are you breathing? You know, do we look back and recognize where God has brought, what God has brought us through, how God has shown Himself mighty, and are we so grateful for what God has done that it really doesn't matter what my current situation is? Because God has already, if He never did another thing, God has then done more than I have the vocabulary to praise Him for. Are we so grateful for what God has already done that God says, oh, I like this one. I like this one. This one praises me. I want to continue to bless him. I want to continue to bless her. Or do we say, nope, what have you done for me lately? Praise the Lord. Getting back in that, Proverbs 15. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord and great treasure with trouble. Amen. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Are we thankful for the things that we have? Are we grateful for the things, people God has placed around us? Are we praising God each and every day for what He's done? He has done so much for us. In 1 Timothy 6, beginning with verse 6, Paul telling Timothy, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment, by the way, is great gain all by itself. But allowing that to transform over and loving God so much we desire to be like Him and are grateful for what He's done is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. We've heard the story about the different stories, but we heard the story about the guy who wanted all of his money converted into gold and wanted to take it to heaven with him, and he gets to the pearly gates, and the question is, well, why'd you bring building materials? Streets are paved with gold, you know, Bible tells us that. Why'd you bring building materials? If you've got to bring something, why didn't you bring something important? Why are you bringing building materials? Or the guy that insists on carrying all of his money with him. So the person being the executor of the will, you know, writes a check and leaves it in the coffin. That you never see a hearse with a hauling a U-Haul. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. He goes on and says, having food and clothing, and with these we shall be content. Are we grateful for what God has given us? Do we recognize that God has made provision and we have the things that we need? Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Again, back from Proverbs. Let me not have so much that I curse you. Fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. We hear all the time about people who have won the lottery and in a very short time they are bankrupt or they're dead because of drug overdoses or whatever, or murdered because somebody wanted what they had. All of these things are common in this world that we live in, this fallen world. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Again, we're talking about what is enough, what is sufficient, what do we have? You take a look at the picture on the front of the bulletin. You got a sign there, good, better, best. So what's the other side? The side that's not there. Not good enough. So where's the pole? This is all I need. This is what I need. God has made provision of everything that we need. And He continues to guide and continues to direct and continues to bless us. Final passage, Luke 3, beginning with verse 10. People are talking with John the Baptist. John the Baptist is telling them to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Or, in other words, come showing some sign that you really recognize that you need to be forgiven. So beginning with verse 10, it says, so the people asked him and said, what shall we do then? And he answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then the tax collectors also came to be baptized. And he told them, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed to you, for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked, saying, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, as the people were in expectation, all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. Did you notice that when the tax collectors came to John, he did not say, stop being a tax collector? He said, don't collect any more than is appointed to you. Do your job, but do your job faithfully. Now, the tax collectors were hated because they were considered enemy or agents of the oppressing power, the occupying power of Rome. So they were hated, and that's why you have the parable of the publican and sinners, or the publican and the Pharisee praying, and that's why you have the Pharisees and scribes reviling Jesus and saying, this man eats with publicans and sinners. These were the outcasts of society. They were the dregs. He didn't say, stop doing what you're doing. He said, do what you do faithfully. And he goes, and the soldiers said, what shall we do? And again, he says, do what you do faithfully. Do we recognize that whether if we're employed or if we're working, that the job that we have, the career that we have, the thing that we have is a gift from God as part of His provision? Are we faithful in the little things? Are we faithful in the way we interact with people? Are we faithful in what we do? As all through the summer, at the campground, I had people telling me, as the host, if there's nothing going on, you can just go hang out at your camper, and just as long as you got the radio and you're available. Really? Okay. The host's job, as I understand it, is to ride around, look for things that are out of place, and be a visible presence, making the park look good, interacting with people however you can. I can't do that sitting in my camper. I can do that driving down the road. Oh, there's a piece of paper that shouldn't be there, picking that up. Oh, hey, how you guys doing? You need anything? By being faithful in the task that's before us, we show the love of God to the people around us, and we show a witness that there's something different about us, and that opens the door for a conversation. How come you don't do what the other people do? Well, I can't speak for the other people, but I recognize that this job is a blessing from God. And as, you know, my Bible tells me that whatever I do in word or deed, I do it all as unto the Lord. Where do you get such a weird idea as that? Well, let me tell you about the person I used to be. And it becomes an opportunity to reach out. Everything that comes into our life comes into our life through the hands of a sovereign God who loves us. Every interaction we have, every person we meet, every situation, possible temptation that comes up, God has allowed it into our life. And he's already promised to cause all things to work together for good, but he's also at work teaching us, molding us, making us. But how we react to it, how we react to the things that come up, show our relationship with God. Do we recognize that we have enough? That just being a servant of the Lord is enough. David said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the temple of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I don't need a big position. I don't need a big salary. I don't need a big anything. I just need to know that I'm serving God in the capacity he's called me to serve him in. That's what matters. Everything else is a distraction. Everything else would pull us away. But if we are grateful for what God has done, grateful for who God is in our lives, grateful for the changes he's allowed us to make, and we recognize that what we have is enough. Praise God, Lord, don't give me so much that I get distracted. Lord, don't give me so little that I find myself, you know, breaking your laws or not loving my neighbor as myself. Is that the stealing thing? Not recognizing someone else's, what someone else has. Or not recognizing it as theirs and not honoring them. All of these things, the situations we find ourselves, we recognize that God is walking with us and God is guiding us. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. The Lord makes his abode in our heart. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. As we go through this life, do we go through this life with an attitude that God's grace is sufficient no matter what things look like? God's grace is sufficient no matter whether I'm comfortable or not. Paul said, I've learned to be abased and I've learned to abound. I've learned that no matter what's going on, I'm still God's. God is still at work in my life. He is still showing himself mighty. And we learn to praise him no matter what our circumstances are, so we can go back and fulfill that command, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, you've told us and you've called us to recognize, Lord, that you are enough in our life, that you will give us the things we need. We read that in the Sermon on the Mount, not to worry about our food and our clothing, our shelter, where we'll live, what we're going to do, knowing that you're going to take care of these things. We have seen, Father, your provision in so many different ways. But you tell us, Lord, to make our requests known to you. So we do come, Lord, asking for your provision each and every day. But knowing, Lord, that the things that you've given, the things that you continue to pour out, the blessings you pour out upon us are more than enough. They are sufficient to keep us, to guide us. And our trust in you, Lord, and our recognition of you should be evident in our lives. And that becomes part of our witness and testimony to the people around us, those who were without contentment. So we see that, as Paul told Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. That walking in ways that show the grace and love of God. And even as John was talking to the people while he was baptizing, and as he was telling people how to go about lives, what to do, how to act in righteous manners, they even wondered if he was the Christ. Lord, how many of us reflect Jesus so much that people wonder if we are really Jesus? Lord, let your grace, your love, your mercy shine through us. Father, work in our hearts, change us from glory to glory so that we clearly reflect who you are to the people around us, that they might be drawn to you. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.